Mark chapter 6 tonight. Mark chapter 6. And then we'll be in Job chapter 23. Mark 6. We'll read about three verses there. And then in Job chapter 23, we'll read a couple of verses there. So I ask you to stand tonight. If you would, you pray for our throat. You pray the Lord will help us tonight. All right. Good to be in the Lord's house. I read this scripture just a few weeks ago and preached, not necessarily out of the scripture, but this was part of the main scripture that we preached out of with Mark 4. But in Mark 6, the disciples are in a storm. This is after he fed the 5,000. And in verse 45 of Mark 6, the Bible said, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them." Now take your Bible and go to the book of Job, chapter 23. Job chapter 23. I'll give you a minute to get there. And we'll look in verse 8. Job 23 and verse 8, the Bible said, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for just another opportunity to be here tonight. I pray that you touch and anoint us afresh and help us. Lord, we're certainly going to need your help, and we're looking to heaven for that help tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the choir singing. I pray you was honored in it. Your name was blessed in it. Lord, I'm so glad that you'll hold our hand when we get ready to die. And Lord, not only when we get ready to die, but you keep us and watch over us and lead us through this life. But the child of God does not have to be afraid to die. And Lord, I'm so thankful for that. Well, when it comes time, you'll be there. I ask you now again, if there's somebody lost, save them. Somebody needs encouragement, they'd find it in you. And Lord, we're just again thanking you for this good day. Save that sinner's nearest tail for all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love all them songs we sung tonight, but I really am thankful. That ought to help you tonight when you think about dying, that you're not going to die alone. Because here's the thing. You're going to die one day. Amen. I mean, it's coming. Whether you want it to come or not, it's coming. And I didn't used to think that way when I was younger, when I was in my 20s and in my 30s. But the older that I've got, the more I know and the more I read the obituaries, I always thought that was a strange thing. My mom and dad would get the paper and they would always turn to page 2 and read the obituaries. And then they'd read the front page. And now we download the morning fax, and about one of the first things I do is read the obituaries to see who passed away. And so it is a reminder every day that I'm going to die. But I'm glad. I'm certainly glad that I know Jesus will be with me. He's with me now, and he'll be with me then. And I pray you have that assurance in your heart of being saved and knowing where you're going to go when you die. You need to have that assurance tonight, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can give that. I'm thankful for that tonight, to have that assurance. Mark chapter 6 and Job chapter 23 has at least one thing in common. And it is a time when the Lord is not present, or seems not to be present, in a time of turmoil and in a time of trouble and in a time of when they did not know what to do. The Lord didn't seem to be around. Have you ever been in that state? I mean, it's a bad state, a bad time. It was a time when you didn't know what to do, where to go, how to turn. But yet the Lord didn't seem and that to be present. Now, I want you to understand something. He's always got his eye on you. And you need to understand that. God's always watching over his children. As a matter of fact, in Mark 6 and 48, the Bible said, and he saw them toiling in rowing. You go back to Job 23 and read verse 10, the very next verse after what we read, and the Bible said, but he knoweth the way that I take. You need to understand tonight, just because we can't see him or feel him all the time, he's watching us tonight. And boy, I'm thankful for that, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has ever got his eye upon us. But though comes those times, whether it's a spiritual battle or a spiritual trial and maybe a physical problem, that it seems like the Lord is not there. Now let me say this. I think most of us knows what it's like to have the Lord present in our life. We know what it's like that he comes by and holds our hand and he calms our heart. And listen, he just makes things okay in the moment of time when everything's going wrong. I think most of us have probably been there. So we understand what it's like to experience that peace that Brother Bob talked about this morning that passeth all understanding. We understand. I understand that. I've been there. I know. I prayed and boy, God come by. He showed up. He handled things. He took care of it. Not necessarily did he fix the problem at hand, but he fixed me. And he made me okay that I could handle it and take care of it and get through what we were going through. But then there are some of those times that we pray and it seems like the Lord ain't listening. Or we pray and the Lord ain't coming by like we thought he should. And you'll find right here that at even time he puts them fellers in the boat. But yet somewhere in the middle of that night there was a storm blow up. And the Bible said right here that it was in the fourth watch of the night. That is 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning. And so I have no doubt that the Bible said right here, he saw them toiling in rowing. And so they have spent some time and that trying to get that boat to shore. They have spent some time trying to get it there. You look at Job, and we all know the story of Job, and Job's in such a state. I mean, he is a man that loved God. The Bible said that he eschewed evil. Listen, he was a just man. He was a right man. He served God. He loved God. He raised his children right, I have no doubt. I loved his wife and done what he could to serve God. But yet he's in a position to where no matter where he turns, he can't see God. And so tonight I want to preach on a thought, on simply just tying a knot in the end of the rope and holding on. Sometimes that's what it feels like. Sometimes it feels like we're just going to have to tie. And listen, I'm not keeping myself. I'm not holding on to salvation. I'm glad salvation's holding on to me. But sometimes all we can do is just tie a knot in the end of this thing and hold on and not fall off and just wait for Jesus to come by. So I want to look at some things. I mean, am I the only one that's ever felt that way? Am I the only one that's ever been down that road to where you've just prayed and prayed and God don't seem to listen? You've waited for God to come by and he's not come by. I mean, surely I'm not the only one that's ever felt that way. But three things I want to look at tonight in dealing with that. First of all, don't give up on seeking the Lord. Don't quit praying just because he didn't answer today. If you'll go over to Daniel chapter 21, I want you, Daniel 10, excuse me. I don't know where Daniel 21, oh, he prayed 21 days, that's what it was. I go over to Daniel 10. Daniel 10, and you'll find out that he set himself and that to seek the Lord. Daniel's after the book of Ezekiel. He set himself to seek the Lord in Daniel 10. The Bible said in verse 1 of Daniel 10, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, by the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. His body also was like the beryl, on his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And you go to the book of Revelation and see the description of the Lord Jesus Christ over there. And you'll see some likenesses there. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees, upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the word. Now notice that. He is a man greatly beloved. Okay? He is a man greatly beloved of the Lord right here. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now let me park right here. And he's talking about some things that's going to happen to Israel, and I'm not going to get into the prophetical meaning of all this tonight, but I want you to understand that Daniel prayed and he fasted. He afflicted himself for 21 days before God come to give him an answer. I'm going to tell you how I think a lot of times. I want to pray today and at the latest have an answer tomorrow. I want to pray today and by this evening get an answer. It's not always that way. It's not always that God's going to move that fast. And he was a man that was, what did it say right here? Greatly beloved. It ain't that God didn't love him. It ain't that God didn't respect him. It ain't that he wasn't serving God. Listen, it was just, he said right here that the king of Persia withstood him 21 days. And I understand God can do what he wants to, and as he wants to do, he will. But sometimes when we're praying, don't give up in our prayer. Think if Daniel would have given up. Think if Daniel would have given up. I mean, he's fasting for 21 days. That's a long time. I think 24 hours is a long time. Most I've ever fasted in a row is 2 days, 48 hours. That was a long time. I will say something to you about this. When you get into that second day, now listen, I want you to understand something. I've done that twice. Once because the doctor made me. I like to starve myself to death. I mean, that like to starve me because he was making me do it. But when I done it for the Lord, things changed. I'm just going to be honest with you. My body didn't seem so neat that by the second day, it didn't bother me near as bad as it did the first day. I'll just be honest with you. There's some times that you need some answers from God, that it's going to come past just praying. You're going to have to fast. I know it don't look like I fast that much, and I probably need to fast more than I do, but I'm going to be honest with you, friend. Sometimes it takes more than just praying. You need to fast along with it. Boy, nobody shouted amen right there. Amen. Listen tonight. I mean, you can go over. That is not only an Old Testament doctrine. That's a New Testament doctrine. Listen, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to fast. The Apostle Paul tells us to fast. I believe we ought to fast when we pray. I believe it's a good thing to do. And I've taught on that before about fasting. But listen, when we pray, it is to seek God for his help. Sometimes we're just asking God, we need some help. What was it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? I believe it was with King Jehoshaphat over there. What did he tell the Lord? I mean, he had them three companies coming up against him. Some of my most favorite scripture in the Old Testament. Well, what did he say in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 after he had prayed? What was it? He said in verse 12, "O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And I mean, man, he just begins to pray. I mean, over in the first part of the chapter, the Bible said after they'd come up against him in verse 3, there was three companies. Moab, the children of Ammon, and the other besides the Ammonites came up against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the seaside, this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar," which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a what? A fast throughout all Judah. There, that word is again fast. They're not going to eat. They're going to seek God. I'm telling you, there are just sometimes you say, "Well, God already knows. He already sees my heart." Yeah, but he's going to see really how serious you are. He's going to see how serious we are about our prayer life and how serious we are about seeing him move. Because when you're willing to give up the very necessary thing that your body desires and has to have, and that to survive, I think I'll tell him some things. I think he'll tell you some things too. I think when you have a need and it goes beyond just prayer, and you're not willing to fast over that thing, I'm not sure how important it is to you. You can tell me it's important, and you can tell God, "Well, we want you to come by and show up. We want you to come by and meet with us. I need you to come by and help me." But I'm just going to tell you, friend, if you ain't willing, as it said in the book of Daniel, to afflict yourself in that manner by fasting, I'm not sure how important it really is. And I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you. Boy, Baptists just don't talk about fasting a whole lot. We like fried chicken, pizza, and steak too much. Somebody should have said amen right there. I'll never forget, years ago, I was over at Miss Christie's house years ago, and Caleb was in there in the kitchen, and I forget exactly why we were there, but I said, "Well, I'll be honest with you. I said, I know I carry on with fried chicken all the time, but I said pizza. I said, some pizza is probably my most favorite food. I'm like Miss Jennifer. There ain't a pizza I've ever met that I don't like. I mean, I like them." And he said, "Preacher, that makes me like you even more. Amen." And now with all my stomach problems and issues, I can't even eat pizza no more. So, you know, the Lord has a funny sense of humor, you know. But he told them to fast. And so Judah gathered themselves because he's proclaimed to fast throughout all of Judah to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now notice, now they're gathering together to pray. Not only are they fasting, but they're gathering together. I preached a month and a half ago on a Wednesday night. I preached on I need the prayers of those I love. There's sometimes that this thing gets bigger than us. It gets bigger than what we handle, and we need folk to help us pray. I'm talking about a time when God ain't coming by. I'm talking about a time when God is silent. I'm talking about a time when he's quiet and you can't hear him. Listen, and he don't seem to be talking. That's what I'm talking about. But notice, to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, our God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven?" Well, he knew he was, and God knew he was God in heaven. and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear in heaven. And now behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit it. And then hear the verses again. O our God, would not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Boy, I'm telling you, sometimes we got to realize that we have no help against what we're facing in ourselves. They could not face this battle alone. And said, neither. He said, neither know we what to do. You ever went to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't know what to do right here. I don't know how to handle this situation. I don't know what to do. This is a bad situation. I need some help right here. And I need you to come by. But notice what he said. But our eyes are upon thee. Still looking to heaven. Can I tell you the thing to do when it comes to the place where you tie a knot in the end of the rope? Hold on. Just continue to seek God for his help. Continue to seek God that he might strengthen you and help your faith. What was it that he told Peter over there? Simon, Simon, Satan desired to have thee, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that what? That thy faith fail not. One of the easiest times for our faith to fail in the Lord is when the storms come and situations come and problems come and we don't know what to do. It's one thing to know what to do, but it's another when we don't know what to do. And God ain't answering. Let me ask you something. You ever needed some help and you called somebody, text somebody, tried to get a hold of somebody, and the somebody you're trying to get a hold of, they won't answer the phone? Ever been there? Boy, it's the same way with heaven sometimes. It feels like we can't get some help. But boy, I'm glad. I'm glad he told Simon over there. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He said, just keep trusting me. Psalms 18, the writer said, psalmist said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He's our strength. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Boy, that's a lot of good adjectives for the Lord tonight. And I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He said, I'm just going to keep calling on him. He's my strength. He's the one that's going to help me. When you got to tie a knot in the end of that rope, just keep praying. Just keep talking to the Lord. Just keep calling out and seeking him by prayer. Just keep calling out and seeking him by the word of God. The Bible said in Psalms 27, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Listen, don't that sound so good about David? He said, man, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to look to God. I'm going to look to him and let him show me what I need to do. And boy, when I've called out on him, he's heard me and he's seen me. But yet the psalmist said in Psalms 42, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Boy, this is a whole different psalmist, ain't it? Some of you all can go back and look and remember when God come by and he answered and he showed up. And you may be in a place tonight, I don't know, where you just feel like you're down at the end of the rope with a knot tied in and you're hanging on. And that's all you're doing. That's a tough place to be. That's a real rough place to be. Because you don't feel like you're accomplishing anything. You don't feel like you're any good to the Lord. You don't feel like that he's using you. And I mean, all we got to do, friend, is just call out. Now, I know it may take a little while, but you know what the psalmist said right here? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise of the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down on my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know what he said? He's eventually going to come by. He's eventually going to show up. He's eventually going to do something for me. Some of y'all have been there. You know what I'm talking about tonight. You've waited on God. You've begged God. There's been nights that you've cried yourself to sleep. There's been nights that you've wondered if God was even real, if heaven was here, if any of this thing was going to get fixed, and how was it going to get fixed. You've wondered all that. But looking back on it, you see where God came by. And you may be there tonight. It may take the midnight oil of prayer. It may take the time of fasting and prayer. But don't give up. Don't give up seeking God. When you tie a knot in the end of the rope, don't give up on seeking God. Number two, just keep serving Him. Just keep serving Him. Just keep doing what you know to do. Don't give up. It's easy to quit. It's easy to, when the enemy is against, and let me tell you, when we get in that position, the enemy is going to use that against us. And sometimes the enemy is you. Sometimes I'm determined the devil don't even have to get around us. We just do it to ourselves. I mean, we just do it to ourselves. We afflict ourselves in that situation, and Satan ain't nowhere around. But don't give up in serving the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 4, you'll find that they're rebuilding the temple. They're having to clean up after Jerusalem was destroyed, and they've come back from Babylon, and Nehemiah's over there, and they're going to rebuild the wall, and they're trying to get this wall rebuilt. And so when Sanballat and all the enemies and that of Israel find out what's going on, they're going to come and battle with them and fight with them. And you know what they just really end up doing? And I've preached on this before. They just ended up building and battling. The Bible said every man had a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. And so with one hand they builded, and with the other hand they's ready to fight. I mean, he had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. I'm gonna bring a trowel in here one day with a sword, and I mean that's what they did. And they had men that would stand guard. And Nehemiah realized how much stood at stake. If you read Nehemiah chapter 4, and you'll find that he tells them over there in that same chapter when the enemy is threatening to come. He said, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." He said, look, there's something worthy of this fight. There's a reason you need to keep going. There's a reason you need to keep holding on to the end of the rope, because your testimony's at stake, your children's at stake, your home's at stake, the church is at stake. You just need to keep holding on. I'm getting awful tired of holding on, preacher. I know. Just keep serving. Keep doing what you know is right. Just keep coming to church. Keep getting in the choir. Ain't that what the psalmist said in Psalms 42? He said, what did he say? "Oh, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." He said, I look back on this thing. I went to church like I was supposed to. I done what I was supposed to do. I raised my hand when it was the right time to raise my hand. I shouted glory when it was right. We sung the right songs that my heart rejoiced. But I'm not there now. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Just keep putting preaching, good Bible preaching on, and good scriptural singing in the radio at home. My wife will tell you, I will actively search out choir singing out of this book. Actively search out somebody singing these old songs. Why? Because I know they work.
I know them songs in that blue book. I know they work. I know them songs in that black book. I know they work. You see that, Miss Jennifer? I put it right back together. All right. That's an inside joke, by the way. Listen, but I know they work. I know they'll help. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with trying to find some good singing that'll help your heart and help your soul. Listen, he talks about that in Ephesians and Colossians with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It's okay because that stuff will help. It'll help. Just keep on serving him. Just keep coming to church like you know to do. Just keep living right like you know to do. Just keep reading your Bible. Just keep witnessing whatever God has called you to do. Just keep doing it. Even though you're holding on to the end of the rope, sometimes you don't feel like it. Just keep doing it. You think I've come in here for the past 22 and a half years and felt like standing behind this pulpit Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and go to the nursing home every Friday morning and Thursdays go over to the shop and teach them boys in devotion? You think I feel like that all the time? I mean, sometimes I don't feel good in body. Sometimes I don't feel good spiritually. Sometimes I am fighting battles. But I'm still, with God's help, going to just keep on doing what I know to do. I'm not going to quit with the Lord's help. He said, watch in 1 Corinthians 16, watch and stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. That means don't quit. He said, quit you like men and be strong. Just keep going. 1 Corinthians 15, after the Apostle Paul talks about the rapture of the church. And boy, I believe it's close. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God sees all the suffering you're going through. God sees it. God sees the dark nights. He sees the darkness. And let me tell you this, the sun's going to shine again one day. The sun's going to shine again. Number three, don't quit praising Him. You go back to Psalms 42, and you know, he said in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He said, I'm going to praise him. Whether it's good or bad, easy or hard, he's still worthy of our praise. You ought to praise him. What was it 1 Thessalonians said in verse 5? Remember reading this today. He said, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Man, that's hard to do. You don't know how to pull yourself. And I don't want to say it like you can pull yourself out of it. But do you want to know what will help you get out of it? Just start praising the Lord. Just thank Him for the good things. Thank Him for what you said. Well, preacher, it's awful bad. No. It may be awful bad, but there's still some good things. If you're saved, there's still some good things. Oh, I'm saved. I get to go to heaven. Amen. I get to go to heaven. That's a big deal. There's a lot of people going to die today that have died today. They died and went to hell. But I'm not ever going to do that. I can't do that. I've been bought and paid for, saved and kept by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I think about my wife. I think about what God's give me and her. I think about our home. I think about this church. And I think about all the blessings. And to be honest with you, I think about the ability that God has given me. And when I say ability, man, he's allowed me to be able to learn some things and do some things. He's even given me a trade. He's given me enough smarts. He's given me enough smarts to even give me a trade. That may not mean much to you. It means a whole lot to me. He's given me a way that I can make some money when I need to make money. He's given me that ability. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. God, listen, God had to make me that way and give me that ability. Preacher, it's awful bad right now.
2 Samuel chapter 12, we looked at David this morning. After he had committed adultery, committed murder, Nathan's come to him, told him, "You're the man." Bathsheba's had that baby, and he told David that baby's going to die. Something had to die for that sin, didn't it? The innocent. You know, when you look in verse 16 through 23, as David's laying over on the ground for 7 days and praying and hadn't ate nothing, after that baby dies and they come and tell him, the Bible said that he went home, he got himself cleaned up, and he goes down to the house of God and he worships. Listen, it's worse now than what it was, because there was a chance that baby might live, but now that baby's dead. And so you know what David does? He goes and worships. Well, that's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to walk in church and worship when it's that bad. We can come and worship even when it's bad. We can still praise even when it's bad. And I would say that when it's bad, we need to do that. We need to do that. Because it'll help us. As much as worship is us showing our adoration to the Lord and putting Him on the throne of our heart where He belongs, and us in the place where we belong. I mean, He's exalted and we're in a humble position. Listen, it's still good for us to worship even in the bad. Psalmist said in Psalms 104, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." It'll do you good to praise, and it'll do folk around you good to see you praise. It's just good. Sometimes we feel like we tie a knot in the end of the rope and just hold on. You just need to keep praising. You just need to keep sending up praise and talk about how worthy He is. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would.